Matthew 10 says, verse number 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. You can be seated. Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for giving for us. I pray you bless us now as we preach. In Jesus' name, amen. It's going to be a little different type of message. I'm going to turn to several passages, and if you would, turn along with me and stick with me and read a good bit of Scripture. But I believe it'll be good, and I believe it'd be a blessing to us if you listen. I think a lot of churches' problem today, maybe here, maybe other places, is fear. A lot of our nation's problem is fear. Some are afraid of a virus. Some are afraid of some so-called cure for this virus. Some are afraid of government tyranny because of this virus. Everybody's afraid of different things, but they have one thing in common. There's a lot of people that have fear. They're afraid. Some are afraid of the riots and things going on there. People are everywhere are afraid. Afraid of the unknown. If we needed one word to describe 2020, it'd probably be fear of the unknown. So begin to think on that. We are all afraid of something sometime. Maybe some of us aren't afraid of getting sick. Some of us may be. Some of us aren't. We have seen the numbers, and I'm kind of in that group. I'm not afraid of getting sick. Although I guess I probably do have a fear of our government and what it's doing. I have a fear as well. I'm concerned for our country. I pray the Lord works it all out, but my flesh, I do have fear about it. What's going to happen? What's the future holds? We really don't know. We know what Revelation says. We know we're going to win. But the close future, we don't know what it holds. So we have fear. There is one thing we should fear, and that fear is God. 1 Peter 2, verse number 17 says, honor all men, love their brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. We are supposed to fear God. There's one thing we're supposed to be afraid of, or have fear, a reverential fear for, and that is God. 10 times in the Bible it says the exact phrase, fear God. We ought to fear God. There ought to be a holy reverence for him. He is a holy God. He is a righteous God, creator and ruler of all. We ought to have a healthy reverence for him, healthy fear for him. But should we be fearing anything else? As Christians in this time, as our country is in now, should we be afraid? Should there be fear? What does the Bible have to say about it? I believe the answer to that is no. 63 times in the Bible, the phrase, fear not, is used. If you ask me, I believe the Word of God might be trying to teach us something here, to fear not. Amen. We have a lot of people today afraid to serve God. Well, if I do this, so-and-so might think this. If I do this, I might face a judgment for this. We don't know about the future. What we do know what the future holds in Revelation. We know where we're going to go. We know how this thing's going to end. We know it's going to work out. I don't believe we should have fear. So the Lord's talking, preach just a few minutes tonight on that. Simply, fear not. In our text verse there in Matthew, it mentions two sparrows. I know you've heard that before. It says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And what is that? And you probably already know. But the farthing is the smallest possible piece of money for them in those days. Compared to our money, it would have the value of about half of a penny. In those days, not today. So for half of a penny, you could buy two sparrows. So for one of them to fall to the ground and God to present for it, that means he's willing to show up for the value of a quarter of a penny. In other words, God cares for everything. God cares for us. He cares for you. He cares for me. It doesn't matter how small the problem is. It says the very hairs of our head are numbered. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fret. We don't have to fear. God is in control. We don't have to fear today. And there's a lot of things on the outside. We may not understand it, but we don't have to fear. God is in control. Fear you not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. If God cares for one little sparrow, he's going to care so much more for us as children. We don't have to fear any virus. We don't have to fear any tyranny. We have God on our side. I know you know that. Trouble may come. Trials may come. He never said they wouldn't. He did promise he'd never leave us. Natalie sent me a song that she found this week. It's called The Promise. God never promised us silver or gold. Never said we wouldn't have troubles or trials. We will have those things. But he did promise he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. We don't have to fear. Fear not. This is not our home. We are only passing through. We have a home in heaven. Fear not. If you have fear before, don't worry. You're in good company. I'm going to go through the scriptures tonight, just a few passages in the New Testament, and look at some different people that God told them exactly. He said, fear not or be not afraid. There's very many people in the New Testament, examples we have of people that were afraid. So we are not alone. If you're afraid tonight, you have company. You're not alone. So let's go through and see who these people were and what trouble they had and why they didn't have to fear. Number one, Zacharias. Turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Told you to turn there, and I didn't even turn myself. Luke chapter 1. Verse number 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went to the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. The angel said to him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and the wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." I don't know about you, but if I was a priest, and I walked there to the altar of incense, and an angel standing there, I probably wouldn't only be afraid, I'd probably run like a little girl and run out of there. There's an angel of God standing there in front of you. He walks to the holy place, one of God's angels is standing there waiting for him. No doubt, he's afraid. What does he say? Well, the angels say, "Fear not, Zacharias, for that prayer is heard." Can I encourage you tonight, the same God that heard Zacharias' prayer and Elizabeth's prayer is the same God that hears your prayer and my prayer. Fear not, because our prayers are heard. You may not get an answer right away. Zacharias, I don't know how long him and Elizabeth have been praying. She is barren. We don't know how long they've been praying. You can rest assured God is listening and your prayer is heard. 1 John 5:14 says, And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. God is a listening God. Fear not, because your prayer is heard. Apparently, Zacharias and Elizabeth have been praying for a child. God said, I hear you. I'm going to answer. I hear your prayer. Have you ever been in a situation you didn't understand what was going on or why it was going on? You didn't understand why you're going through what you're going through. We've been there before with the children like they were. We didn't understand why we're going through what we're going through. I'm sure they felt the same way. Elizabeth was barren. God says, you know what? Fear not. I've heard your prayer. Christian, I don't know what you're burdened about tonight, but if you made it a matter of prayer, you can rest assured God knows what you're going through. God hears. He knows what's going on. He may not answer it right away, but he hears. Fear not, your prayer is heard. God is aware. If you prayed about it, God knows about it. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." He is listening. Fear not, because he hears our prayers. Number two, we see Mary, the devoted, that same chapter, just a few verses over, verse number 26. "In the sixth month, angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, 'Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women.' And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, 'Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God.'" Again, these angels are scaring people. I'd be afraid too. What does the angel say to her? "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." What does that word favor mean? It means grace. Gracefulness. It means Mary found grace in the eyes of God, like Noah did. That's interesting, is it not? Why does she get that? I don't have a reason as to why God chose Mary to birth his son. I don't have a reason for that. The Bible doesn't tell us, but he chose her. But I'm going to let you in on a little secret here tonight. If you're saved, then you have found favor. You have found grace in the eyes of God. God has shown mercy. He died on the cross so that man can be saved. He showed us favor. Ephesians 2:8. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. For by grace you're saved." By God's grace, we are saved. Not in ourselves. We can't save ourselves. Couldn't save ourselves if we tried. It's a gift of God. He's given us a gift. He has shown favor. He has shown grace. He has died on the cross so we can accept him and be saved. Have you accepted him tonight? Have you accepted the gift? Are you saved tonight? If so, fear not. Fear not, you have found grace in the eyes of God. We don't have to fear dying and going to hell if you're saved. You don't have to fear that. You can have peace. You can have grace. You can have peace. You don't have to fear. Fear not, you don't have to go to hell. The worst thing the world can do to you is give you a one-way ticket to heaven. What's so bad about that? Fear not. Fear not COVID. Fear not politics. Fear not tyranny. We have found favor with God. God has shown us mercy and grace. If you're saved tonight, you found grace. You don't have a reason to fear. If you're saved, fear not. You see, we don't have to fear because he hears our prayers. We don't have to fear because he saves. We don't have to fear. Number three, we see Jairus, the example of Jairus. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 says verse number 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was the ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Let's go to verse number 49. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. When Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. When he came to the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again and she rose straightway and commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them they should tell no man what was done. Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, his daughter lay dying at home. He knew her only hope was Jesus. Imagine a ruler in the Jewish synagogue said, I know who I need. I need Jesus. So Jesus came after he dealt with the woman there with the issue of blood. We skipped over those verses. You can go back and read them later. Jesus came to the man's house. Many were there that morning. They laughed at Jesus when he said she was only sleeping. Who were these people? It doesn't tell us. But they all laughed and Jesus put them all out. I think it's pretty funny. They started laughing. Jesus says, you know what? You can get out of here. You don't get to witness the miracle. Most people in the world, they are too busy laughing the church to scorn to see how God's working. So Jesus puts them out. He heals her. She gets up and he says, okay, go give her meat. I'm glad Jesus was no vegan, no vegetarian. He said, go give this girl some meat. What's the point? The point I'm trying to make is verse number 50. Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. When it all seems hopeless, when even your family and neighbors are laughing you to scorn, just take it to Jesus. Take it to him. To everyone else, the situation was hopeless. What did Jesus say? Fear not, believe only. I think a lot of our problems will be solved if we just shut the world out and fear not and believe only. Trust the Lord, he can handle it. It may look hopeless to them, but to God, there's no reason to fear. Fear not. Don't be sorry. The Lord can heal. The Lord can change the situation. We see Jairus, we see Simon, the fisher. You know the story there. Turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, a couple chapters back. You know this passage well. The men have fished all night long. They hadn't caught anything. Jesus tells them to go back and throw their nets out again. They go back and they bring in a big load of fish. Enough, it says, a drought of fishes. Enough to break their net. They had to ask for help from another boat. Verse number 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. What does Jesus say? Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. We don't need to fear our commission. We don't need to fear our calling. The Lord called me to preach. I don't understand that. That scares my flesh to death. I don't like it. I don't like being in front of people. And you saw on Sunday school, I don't like it. The Lord might be directing you to do something. You say, Lord, I can't do that. Lord, that's too much. Lord, that's just too far. Lord, that's not for me. Lord, a fisher of men. Jesus says, fear not. If the Lord told you to do it, you can rest assured he'll take care of the rest. You should be faithful doing what he said to do. Don't fear the commission. Many people fear the great commission. When it comes to telling somebody else about Jesus, they lock up, they clam up. We're afraid of that. We're afraid of confrontation. Fear not the commission. Fear not the great commission. We're told to do it. Now go be, fear not, go be fishers of men. Fear not the commission. Number 5, we see the trembling disciples. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. Matthew 14, verse number 22. And straightway Jesus constrained the disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went into them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Let's stop right there. What happened? They were in a storm. Who shows up? Jesus shows up walking on the water. Notice it doesn't say the disciples were worried about the storm or the wind. there in the middle of the sea in the storm and the wind. The boat was tossed around. They didn't say anything about them being afraid about that. They were fishermen. They were okay with the storm. What bothered them was seeing Jesus in the storm. What bothered them was so bad was something they had never faced before, something they had never seen happen before. They were okay with the storm, but something in the storm they had never experienced before, that is what caused them to fear. What is that? What is it that causes you to fear? Is it the storm? Sometimes we're afraid of a storm. We'll get to that some later on. But some of us have been through enough storms, the storm may not bother you as much anymore. First time in a storm on a ship, it probably gets you pretty worried and concerned. Fred probably agreed. First time in a storm on the ship, probably get pretty concerned. After that, you learn to read the seas. You know if it's bad or not. You can learn, may not fear the storm, but something in the storm you've never experienced before, that is what causes these men to fear. Something we never faced before, something is new territory for us. That's when we begin to fear. What did Jesus say? Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid when Jesus shows up in your storm. Just trust him. You say, well, preacher, I've been through trials. I've never been through this kind of trouble. I've never been through this in particular before. Just trust him. Be not afraid. Be of good cheer. He can take care of it. You can trust him. Just because you never experienced it doesn't mean he hasn't. He's in control. He can handle it. We see the disciples in the storm. We see the disciples' fear. We see the seeking women looking for Jesus. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. I know I'm making turn a lot of passages. We're almost done here. Matthew 28. Almost done turning. Verse number 1, Matthew 28, verse number 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel's answer said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know ye seek Jesus which is crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. They departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and to run to bring his disciples' word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and behold, held him by the feet and worshipped him. And said Jesus to them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren, they go into Galilee, and there shall you see me. Shall they see me? Four different times this short passage here, we see the word fear. The keepers were afraid, and they fainted. I think it's pretty funny. Saw the angel, and they passed out. That's probably what I would do. The angel said, fear not ye, to the ladies there in verse number 8. They left the sepulcher with fear and joy. In verse 10, Jesus tells them, be not afraid. I want you to notice just one thing in here in this passage. A lot of things we could cover and point out this one part here. They were afraid, of course, because of what they had seen. They're afraid and joyful at the same time, it says in verse number 8. They left the sepulchre with fear and joy. Notice it wasn't until they left with fear and joy after the angel told them not to fear. Notice it wasn't until they met Jesus that their fear was gone. The point I want to make is this. I can tell you all night long to fear, not to fear. I can preach a message over and over again and keep saying fear not, fear not. I can tell you that all night long. I can give you these seven different examples on why you shouldn't fear. But unless you talk to Jesus about it, it's not going to change much. The angel can tell them all day long to fear not. They're still left with fear. They also have some joy. You may hear me say, oh, yeah, preacher, that's right. You're right. Fear not. I'm not supposed to fear. But you're going to turn around. You're going to walk out the door with fear still in your heart. It's not between me and you. It's between you and God. If you do not stop and give it to the Lord, the fear is not going to be gone. I don't know what you're afraid of tonight. I don't know what all you're going through. Maybe it's the virus that I mentioned. Maybe it's something much more close to home, much more personal. I don't know. Maybe it's the trial you're going through. I don't know what it is. I don't know what you're afraid of. But I promise you, if you talk to Jesus about it, it's going to change a lot for you. It's going to help you a lot more. I can tell you all night long, fear not. It's not going to do you very much good unless you talk to him. It wasn't until these ladies stopped and met with Jesus that their fear was taken away. Will you give it to him tonight? Will you trust in him? He's in control of it anyway. I can tell you all night long not to fear. You can walk out those doors in fear in the same way. You got to give it to him. Lastly, turn to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. See, even Paul had some fear. I know you've heard this story before. I've preached on it recently. Paul is a prisoner on a ship heading to appear before Caesar. He comes to the storm, and they're in trouble. And that's where we pick up in verse number 21, Acts 27, 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and says, "Sirs, you should have hearkened to me and have not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. There should be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee.'" Can I encourage you tonight? Don't fear the storm. We already mentioned a little bit about the storm of the disciples there. Don't hit it again. God has a purpose for the storm. I preached this before, so I'm not going to cover too much here. God has used this storm in Paul's ministry, using the position where he needed to be, using to be example when he needed to be. God had a purpose for it. To you, it may seem pointless. To you, it may seem unfair. To you, it's not right. But God's in control. God has a plan. God put Paul in that storm for a reason. He says, "I'm going to take care of you anyway." God has a plan. Fear not. Don't fear the storm. I don't know what all you're going through tonight. I just want to encourage you a little bit if I can. Fear not. Quit worrying about the things you can't change, things you can't control. Quit trying to force things to happen that God clearly doesn't want to happen. You can trust him. You can trust the shepherd. I'm here to encourage you tonight. Fear not. You can trust Jesus. He's never failed me before. I don't think he's going to start now. He's never done me anything but good. I've gone through trials. I've gone through hard times, but God has always worked it for his good. It's going to be okay. He has a plan. He has a will. Fear not. You can trust.